We're holding Mishlei, Perek Yudalet, the 14th chapter, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, the 24th Pasuk. Ateret Chachamim, the crown of the wise people, Oshram is their wealth. Ivelet Kesilim, Ivelet. And the foolishness of the fools is their foolishness. That means that... The foolishness of the fool is ordinarily in his heart, but in everything he does, that's we see revealed as foolishness. Huh? Ksil is a fool. The ivelet could be the foolishness. Ivelet is more the bad doings of. The fool is his bad doings. You see it. You see it on the surface.
Here it says the foolishness of fool is but foolishness in English.
Okay. The wise person very often doesn't have wealth, and the wealthy person very often isn't wise. People attribute all kinds of things to a wealthy person. They assume if he's wealthy, he must be A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But the truth is that when you have a wise person who is wealthy, so then it's like a crown, it dons him. So it's a wise person, that's what the Pasuk is saying. Ateret Chachamim, the crown of the wise people, is Oshram, is their wealth. Ivelet Kesilim, Ivelet. There's another understanding here that this refers to the Torah. The crown of the Chachamim is their wealth in Torah. Their wealth in Torah is what crowns them, that's their honor. And the destruction of the fools is the fact that they didn't learn Torah. They were too lazy to go learn Torah. That's their own destruction. Matzil nefashot edemet. Truthful, yeah.
Also, Pirkei Avot says, like, wealthy is happy.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That's a nice understanding. That the crown of the wise people is that they're sameach b'chalko, that they're ashirim. That's very nice. Matzil nefashot edemet, a truthful witness is one who saves lives. Ve'afiach kezavim mirma, and if one who is one who tells lies, then he's going to be able to save a person who is a deceitful person. Matzil nefashot edemet, edemet, one who's truthful witness, he is matzil nefashot. He saves lives. The afiach kezavim, and one who breathes out lies, he saves the milma, the deceitful person. That's how the deceitful person is saved. Now, here we see that sometimes you think, how can I save lives? I'll join the Red Cross. I'll join the ambulance corps. We have to know that in our basic actions, if we're truthful, we're also saving lives. If a person does things right and people can count on him, then he has to know that he's also doing tremendous positive. We sometimes think that to be positive you have to do extra. And it's true, everyone should do extra. But we also have to appreciate that that extra cannot come at the expense of the basics.
This isn't just in court then, it's not a...
So the Pasuk is saying, by saying truth in court, you're going to ultimately save people's lives. And you think, well, what's more basic than that? Obviously in court you have to testify truthfully. It's not so obvious. There are a lot of people out there who are willing to take a pretty penny and say a little bit more, say a little bit less. It's rare to find the person...
You're saving your life.
Okay, so that's a different case. But in a Jewish court, you don't have to do that cheshbon. In a Jewish court, you're supposed to tell the truth and leave the judges to do the justice. So the Pasuk is saying that a person... What?
What are you saying about non-Jews?
No, I assumed your question was focused about a non-Jewish court. So I'm just saying that
you're
the Pasuk is talking. I didn't say anything about a non-Jewish court. I just said your question, I assume, is predicated on the understanding that it's not talking about a Jewish court. So I'm saying the Pasuk is talking about a Jewish court. And in a Jewish court, your responsibility is to say the truth. In a non-Jewish court, so it depends. And we know that historically, there were many courts that were set up just as libels. So then you have to know what to do, depending on which court and what the motives of the court are. I mean... There were people who were killed for none other than being Jewish. Historically, they were taken to court and they were killed because they were Jewish.
Two of the martyrs, they admitted to killing someone that they didn't kill to save the Jewish nation? Two of the ten martyrs?
I don't know that story. Could be. I don't know.
And so they lied. They said, we killed them, but the Romans were going to kill everyone who was Jewish.
Could be. I don't know. Be'irat Adonai Miftachos, in a person's being a God-fearing person, he can have a security of strength, ulvanav yemachse, and ultimately his children also will have coverage from the fact that he was a God-fearing person. Avram Avinu, God says, I know that he is a God-fearing person, and therefore Hashem promised him that he's going to bless him and bless his offspring. Sometimes it seems like if a person is a God-fearing person, he'll only lose. And Shlomo HaMelech time and again promises us that in order for a person to have strength in the present and blessing in the future, a person has to know he has to be a God-fearing person. It means a person doesn't lie, a person doesn't cheat. A person has to do what's right, and he has to know that in the long run, that's what's going to pay. Even though in the short run, very often it seems like a person will gain by not being a God-fearing person. We're holding Perek Yudal plus a Chav Zayin.
So, the hay is like a stretched out hair, or maybe is that the book, or is that a cancellation? Or and the hay is stretched out more than the other letters.
I don't know.
And that's just a joke. T here, the age of T here.
I don't know. Chav Zayin, Yirat Adonai Mekol Chaim, fearing Hashem is the source of life. And that'll help a person turn away from stumbling blocks of death. Again, Shlomo HaMelech has to remind us that the source of life is being God-fearing. Sometimes a person doesn't feel that way. So Shlomo HaMelech tells him, no, you have to know that the way to go is with God. And to be a God-fearing person is elementary, and a person has to know that in the long run, that's what's going to protect him. Berovam Hadrat Melech. When you have a large gathering of people, so then, that's the greater honor for the king. Uv efes leom, and when there aren't a lot of people, mechitat razon, then everyone has to be scared of going hungry. This pasuk has halachic implications. We say that berov amadrat melech, where there's a greater amount of nations, more honor for the king. So this applies to Hashem also. That's why a person should try to daven in a shul where there are many, many people. I'm not saying that's the only factor in deciding which shul you daven in. That is one of the factors. I say that when there are going to be a lot of people there, that's a greater honor to Hashem, and that's a better place to daven. One understanding in the pasuk says that when there are a lot of people who are fearing Hashem, berovam, this is a continuation of what we said until now, there are a lot of people who are fearing Hashem, Adrat Melech. That's honor to Hashem. Uve'efes lo'om, when you don't find many people fearing Hashem, mechitat razon. So then, there's going to be a lacking, and it's as though that you're going to have to be fearful of other gods, so to speak, because the Jewish people are taken over by other nations. Erech hapayim, rav tevuna. If a person is slow to anger, that's a sign that he has a lot of understanding. Uktzar ruach, merim ivelet. And a person who is short to anger, he angers quickly, so then he shows that through his anger, he's taking on, he's adopting foolishness and doing bad, and that overtakes his wisdom. So we have to know that the anger is one of the things that harm a person most. If he's smart, he loses wisdom. If he's a prophet, he loses his prophecy. It's interesting that the pasuk says that God wants our praise. Berov am adrat melech. There's a large number of people praising Hashem. That's the honor of Hashem. So there's a gemara in Brachos. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. Bo reish v'cho gdulato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina said, come and see the praise, the greatness of Hashem. Sha'afal pi sheyesh lefnav elef alafim v'rabei revivot kitot shemalchei asheret sheyishartu v'shabchu. Even though Hashem has thousands upon thousands of classes of angels to serve him and to praise him. He doesn't want all of their praise. He wants Am Yisrael's praise. As our pasuk says, Berov Am Adrat Melech. When you have much of the Am, that's the honor to the king. Then Am Ela Yisrael. And Am refers to the Jewish people. Like the prophet Yeshaya said, Am Zu Yatzarti Li, I created this Am for me. Tilati Yisaperu, they will tell my praise. That's the Jewish people. They were created Bishvi Sheyagidu Shivchi Ba'olam. They should make known God's praise in the world. Amar Rabbi Simon, Matai Kadosh Baruch Hu Mit'ale Ba'olamo, when is Hashem considered that he's being given honor, he's raised in his world? When the Jews gather in their shuls and their Beis Medrash and they praise Hashem. Rabbi Shmuel says when they gather in the Beis Medrash and they hear a drasha from the rabbi. And afterwards they say Kaddish and everyone answers Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbam Varach. That time we honor Hashem as the Pasuk says, Berov Am, when the nation gathers, Adrat Melech, that's the honor of Hashem. The honor of Hashem is when we all gather, we hear a drasha and we end with the Kaddish, the honoring of Hashem. Pasuk Lamed.
This is a hard one.
Chaye.
Can you get
a tea or coffee? No, in a second we'll stop. I'll get a cup. Thank you. Chaye v'sarim, lev marpe. If a person has a heart that is like a heart that's made of flesh, meaning he has a, he's willing to forego when people do bad to him. So that gives life to other people. Because no one can be perfect. Everyone hurts someone else. Urkav atzamot kina. But a person who is angry and he's jealous, that's a person whose bones will rot from within. You want your flesh to have long life, you have to be foregoing to other people.
What's the significance of flesh and bones? Like, what's
The idea is that flesh is the softer part of the body and bones is the harder part of the body. If a person is going to take his heart and make it like flesh, that he'll be soft to other people, so that'll give him long life. Whereas you think sometimes something soft goes easily, we say that that'll be given, that's his strength truthfully. When a person is hard towards other people, he insists on getting what he deserves. He insists on not forgoing when someone wrongs him. So then that'll weaken even the hard parts of his body. The bones that are supposed to be the hard parts of his body, they're going to rot from within. Our sages say that the pasuk is referring to Avraham Avinu. Chaye v'sarim, the Medrash learns, comes from the word not basar, like we learned in the first understanding, but rather from besura, from news. And the pasuk is saying it's being about Avraham Avinu, that when he was on his way to bind up Yitzchak in the Akedah, he got word that Rivka was born, and Yitzchak's wife, a potential wife, has come to the world. And when he heard this, so then Lev Marpe, his heart felt better. He felt better. He came back from the Akedah, he was feeling very, very bad. He saw he almost lost his one and only son, and there was no continuum. And then he heard that, there was a good girl born out in Aram. There's a niece of mine, maybe she could be a wife for my son.
How many years later did it marry?
3 years later. Yeah. Chaye v'sarim. A life that he was given life, rejuvenation, when he got that psora, when he got that news, lev marpe, that healed his heart. And orkav atzamot kina, what's orkav atzamot kina? So the Medrash says that a person has a swamp in the middle of his vineyard, and he brings workers to clear out. He has a pile of earth. He tells them, come clear this. All day long, they're digging. One day, as they're digging, a man comes and sits on the pile, and he starts calling out. He says, "Maybe it's time for Tchias HaMeisim. Maybe it's time for Tchias HaMeisim. You're all digging under here." So the workers wanted to take him off, and they went to Rav Nachman, who owned that vineyard. He came and he found him. He said, "Who are you?" So he said, "I'm a dead person. Is it time for Tchias HaMeisim?" This man who was walking around said, "It's time for Tchias HaMeisim." Rav Nachman told him, "No, it's not your time for Tchias HaMeisim." So Rav Nachman asked him, "What are you doing on this pile of earth I have in my vineyard? I hired these workers to clear the pile of dirt. What are you doing here?" So the man tells him, "I told you, I'm a dead man. This is where I'm buried." So Rav Nachman asked him, "Don't dead people usually rot? How come your bones aren't rotted? You're a dead man?" So he told the man told him back, he said, "You went to Cheder? Did you learn in school? They didn't teach you Shlomo Amar's famous book? Shlomo Amar's book says, Urkava tzamot kina, what causes bones to rot? Jealousy. If a person in his heart is jealous, then his bones, they rot. I was never careful when people slighted me. I never took it out on them. I was always willing to forego what people did to me. And I never was jealous of anyone. So that's why my bones didn't rot. That's why I'm this dead man standing here on your mouth." Oh yeah. So that's what the Gemara quotes, the story that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that's what happened with his mouth. So if a person's bones are going to rot in the grave, the reason is, it's a medrash, yeah. It's a medrash, and there's a similar Gemara in the Gemara in Shabbos. The reason why people rot in the grave is because they were jealous during their life. Oshik dal cheref osil. If a person does wrong monetarily to a poor person, so he thinks, nothing's going to happen to me. So that's as though he's cursing the Creator. Because a person assumes, just because this man is poor, I could take advantage of him. It's as though God's not running the show. So oshek dal, by the fact that you don't pay a guy his wages, you don't pay a worker who worked for you, you cheat a poor person, and you think, just because he's poor, so I can get away with it. We say anyone that does that, it's as though he's cursing towards heaven.
In those days, someone who was poor was like...
Today also. If you want to last in the court, you need money. Today also, when a person's poor, I know a lot of poor people, and I know a lot of them are being cheated. People are paying rent, and they're having leaks from their roof, and no one's fixing it. And, the landlord knows that the guy can't take him to court. He can't do much. There are a lot of stories. Today, unfortunately, it's the same thing. Huh?
You don't treat them as heavy.
Yeah. When Chazal said a poor man's like a dead man, there's a lot to it. When people know a person is poor, they're very quick to take advantage of it. I can tell you a story of a guy in the Machon. He couldn't get his wages because he hadn't finished the Aliyah process. So he went to a neighbor and he said, "Look, the place where I work, they pay me by check. I'll give you the check, you give me the money. But they don't give me a check. They deposit it directly into the account. So you give me the money." This is a story that was ongoing for the last few years. Every neighbor he went to didn't give him the money. They'd get the money deposited into their account. And each time they had a different story. "Oh, I spent it. I didn't realize next month. Oh, it didn't come in yet." You think it's uncommon? I'm telling you, this guy went person after person. Didn't happen with one person. Every single person that offered to help him. Finally, we arranged it. We took care of it. We arranged a bank account where he could get it, and he got the money. But it happens every day, all the time. People see a poor person, they're very quick to take advantage of him. Oshek dal, the Pasuk says, anyone who doesn't pay a poor person his wages, he tries to cheat out a poor person, cheref oseo, that's equivalent to cursing towards heaven. Why? Because he's saying, "Oh, no one's running the show, I could get away with it. He's a poor person, so the justice system won't help him, so no one's going to help him." Umchabdo, and... What? Stealing is forbidden. Yeah.
It
says, "Lo ta'ashok et re'achav ve'lo tigzol." Right? Yeah. Yeah. That's an Isser D'oraisa, correct? Umchabedo chonen evyon. And it's considered as though one is honoring heavens when he is chonen evyon. When he has compassion to the poor person. Medrash says that God says, who made this person poor? I made him poor. So cheref osehu, we understood it to mean, whoever does this, to cheat out the poor person, he is, osehu, as though the one who does this is cheref, he's cursing towards heaven. And the Medrash says, it's as though cheref, he is cursing osehu, the one who made the poor person poor. God says, I made him poor. If you're treating him like this because he's poor, you are cursing out the one who made him poor. Who made him poor? I made him poor, God says. It's because of me that he's poor. I control who's poor and who's not.
Is that a different reason why Hashem loves poor people?
I don't know. Where does say Hashem loves the poor? Hmm? Says Hashem helps them. Says Hashem loves them.
The ones who are down.
Hashem helps the people who are down. Hashem loves the people who are humble. But Hashem loves the poor. Yeah, it says Hashem loves the poor.
Where?
It says, the Rambam quotes it in the halachas of Yom Tov. It says that a person's true happiness is when he goes in the ways of Hashem, that he loves, I think it says in the Rambam, and helps the poor. The Hashem says that I want you to make them happy on the regal. You're supposed to give them from the korbanos. You're supposed to give them from your ma'aser money on the regal. So I think over there it says that Hashem loves the poor. I think so. It says Hashem wants to make them happy. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Bera'ato yidache rasha. When bad things happen to rasha, so then he's pushed away from Hashem and he doesn't have faith in Hashem. V'chose v'moto tzadik. And whoever